Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
This one coming back from the dead. I'm not trying to make a pun about anyone that he's killed or those that we don't know of yet. Dennis Rader, BTK, being looked at again for at least, as I'm told, last night I had a chance to speak to Gary Upton, the undersheriff with Osage County, Oklahoma, and talked about the case. Four cases is what he is saying that he believes could very likely be linked to Dennis Rader. One of the biggest ones, Cynthia Dawn Kinney. That family definitely wants some closure. It's been since 1976 when they lost their daughter. And the new evidence that has been out there pointing to BTK writing about bad wash day when he was installing ADT alarm systems across the street in 1976 when this woman went missing. No body ever found, so it's hard to say if she was bind, tortured, and killed, or any of the above, but we do see some evidence that Rader was in the area at the time, making reference to a laundromat. With the new pieces of that sort of evidence coming to light, that's, according to the DA, not enough to convict yet. What do they need? Where do they need to go? What sort of pieces can they find, may they find, if, in fact, Dennis is connected to this and denying it?
I mean, they need evidence.
Yeah.
They need some forensic evidence. I mean, the advantage is the leaps and bounds that DNA technology has taken, you know, since the case was basically started getting solved and they got Rader arrested, you know, has been magnificent. You know, so the hope is going to be that they're going to be able to do direct comparisons. And beyond that, you know, the sheriff down there in Osage is like, he created this national task force with a bunch of my friends that are on it.
I looked at it. It's like a guest list from the podcast.
Cat in the ring. I'm like, yeah, I think y'all need a lawyer.
Like a
guest digs in on cases. I'd love to be on the task force, but you know, it's a who's who in terms of, you know, the folks that they have that are going to be digging in on the case. So it's starting with Carrie,
you know,
his daughter, Carrie Rawson, who's been instrumental in helping the feds and everyone that asks for it in terms of as much information as she can. And I think she's also trying to elicit information from her father still, you know, so she's an amazing person, and I'm a huge fan of what she does and who she is. And, you know, the fact that she survived that trauma and is putting it all to very good use these days to her own detriment in terms of the pushback that she gets from society is bizarre to me, you know, because like she happens to be the daughter of the guy. I think people impute some of his guilt on her, which is complete and utter crap.
Sure.
She's a survivor.
Yeah.
Is what she. And, you know, and she's trying to do everything in her power to try to help these victims and potential other victims on cold cases. So, but yeah, I mean, ultimately, they're going to dig. They're going to relook at everything. They're going to have a bunch of eyes on it. They're going to have a bunch of brains working on it. And hopefully they're going to be able to put things together. You know, I mean, they're going to be looking not just for forensic stuff, but, you know, they'll be digging into financials. They'll be digging into, you know, like anything they get from phone data, you know, they're going to put pieces together to try to build these cases. And, you know, I mean, if they can't find that DNA link, then maybe they can build like a strong enough circumstantial case in terms of, you know, he was there at the time and they could put him in proximity so they can get to where, you know, he had opportunity and he means, you know, worth enough to maybe bring a case. So we'll see. To be from a lack of effort, and for all those families out there, I'm thrilled that these cases are getting looked at.
Obviously, at that time, there was no cell phones, so there's not going to be some of the evidence that we think that we go to now, and obviously you know that, but there is other things that they're closely looking at. One of the bigger things that it seems they're taking a look at are those pictures that Dennis took of himself wearing his victim's clothing. And they're trying to figure out, okay, are any of these items of clothing belonging to a victim that maybe he has not been charged with yet? I think that's one of the things they're trying to figure out. They're looking at a blanket on one of them that they believe may have belonged to one of the four. And there are some other items as well in some of those pictures. I know they're still trying to get, Osage County is trying to get access right now from Wichita, all of the evidence that's been sitting there so they can comb through it and see what they can find. Is that strong enough? A picture from the 1970s, 1980s, whenever Dennis took those pictures, and someone saying, oh yes, that was Cynthia's jacket or whatever it may be. Is that strong enough evidence considering how long ago we're talking, and we're talking, you know, Polaroid pictures from 40 years ago?
I think if they can, like, if you can get the other half of it in terms of kind of incontrovertible evidence, meaning that whoever's claiming that was the victim's property and like we need some proof of it, it's pretty powerful evidence.
Sure. I guess the question would be, how difficult will that be to prove that it was the victim's?
Somebody was like a pack rat and kept receipts, you know, where we can, like, they can dig up like old photographs that show the identical.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's going to be, it's not going to be easy. Doesn't mean it's possible.
Sure.
You know, it's like, it's one of those things where, I mean, it was kind of the same thing with Gacy, you know, by the time that they had found these boys in his crawl space, they were all skeletal remains. And this was way before DNA.
Yeah.
You know, so it was medical records, it was dental records. And if they found kind of a unique item, whether it be a belt buckle or a piece of jewelry, you know, that's how they were identifying those victims. It wasn't so much that they were using them to, you know, the actual items to convict them, but they certainly brought them into evidence, you know, that in terms of proving that this, who that is, who that person was, you know, so it's kind of the same concept. You know, I mean, is that enough alone? Probably not. You know, like if you can compile some other evidence, like that he was in the area, you know, and that he had access potentially to the victim, you know, if you can get a few pieces of extremely powerful circumstantial evidence, it'll probably be enough.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the other, you know, like we know he did the other ones, you know, so you've got that kind of like in the back of your head. It's not as if we're trying to convict him for the first time on something. You know what I mean? It's like we know that he was a serial killer.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.